On mute. Okay, welcome to the Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen Special Meeting, Finance and Administrative Subcommittee, Monday, January 13th, 2024, 8:31 a.m., Town Hall and Zoom. I'd like to call the meeting to order, and first I would ask for public comment. Is there anybody you'd like to make?
I would, Jim Aldrich here.
Yep, go ahead, Jim.
Okay, I saw the notice. I got the meeting ID, but I didn't get a passcode. But I'm okay with just talking on the phone briefly. I read Tim White's report, and I gave you my report. I'm going to resend it because over the weekend I did some review of both. So I'll get that to all the members, Tim and Jim Rupert. Today, I just wanted to mention one other aspect of this first selectman pay issue that needs to be addressed, and that has to do with the long-term continuity of management. The first selectman and the administrative officer work hand in hand on things together, and I think there needs to be a structured system for transition for the office administrator if that they leave to take another job, plus a new first selectman coming in. I strongly advocate that the first and fourth year of a selectman's term are critical to have the same staff. I know that there's a contract set up for the office administrator, but when we have a brand new selectman, and we are going to have more of this in the future, we need the experience of the office administrator to help that person. But we also need to respect that the office administrator may want to take a bigger and different job. And so we need to have a plan for continuity and the skills. And my efforts to get the first selectman pay increased is not to change any of the job duties of the office administrator. I think there's a fantastic partnership between both those people. But we have to understand that first selectman may stay, town administrator may leave, or vice versa. So that's the only new comment I want to make, and I will send by email my other review of Tim's email, plus I updated mine with some added information. And I think the most important comparable data that you really need to use is town of Ellington. Ellington's gone through a lot, and they've just transitioned to a town manager and first selectman, and they put a lot of time and energy into the pay scale of both positions, and I think that should be part of the review for when you're trying to evaluate things. That's all I have to say right now.
All right. Thank you, Jim Aldrich. Is there anybody else for public comment? Hearing none, we shall begin our discussion about the salary, and I kind of have to recuse myself from this discussion. The only one question I did have, what's the methodology in the event that you were to leave for any reason unexpectedly? Who was next in charge?
There really isn't.
There is no. It right. Just so the first selectman would more than likely be, since it's the CEO's position, would be in charge.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to somebody this morning, and they have a The next person in charge would be the finance director, and it goes down this little pecking order. And I was reading another one where the first selectman would take over the duties for 120 days. So just wanted to throw that out there. Either as something to review and add in there, because as it stands, I believe it would fall on my shoulders to take. So keeping that in mind for future recruits for first selectman's position, which, you know, today's not what we're looking at. We're looking at the future. So I guess that, do you want to start this discussion?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. So Tim's there.
Yeah.
Tim's there. Yeah. Tim White, right? Yeah. Thank you very much for all this information that you put together. It was really clearly, very, very clearly presented. Easy to read. I liked the, how you had the charts, but then you described what the charts said too. So thank you for that. I was really surprised to see that there are only 9 out of 169 towns that are like us.
Yeah, I didn't see Ellington. The state's website hadn't reflected them. So I guess it may be a newer change, as Mr. Aldrich mentioned.
Okay.
So now 10. But
okay, yes. Yeah, very, very interesting. So I, thinking this through, it seems to me that the missing, well, I think that what Jim Aldrich's goal is, and what all of our goals should be, if we're thinking about increasing the salary of the first selectman, we want to be able to fairly compensate the first selectman for the amount of time that he's putting in. Because that amount of time, well, also so that he's compensated for time, but also there's a thought that he's taking time away from his own, his professional life. And in terms of recruitment, people have to be able to know that they're not going to have to give up their business life in order to take on this job. So I think the missing piece of information is the amount of time that is spent by the first selectman doing this job. And I don't know if anybody, I'd like to get Tim and Mather's opinions on that. But also, if they agree with that, how are we going to find that out? I mean, we have Rodney, the sitting first selectman, as a source to possibly be able to put together a schedule of like, or a concept of what you do, of what hours you keep, and then possibly go to other first selectmen and see how many hours they spend on the job. Because you could say, just comparing to other towns, you say, well, this other town pays 18,000, but that first selectman might work half as many hours as our first selectman does, or somebody who's making less in another town might be working 3 times the hours. So, you know, I think we want to have a salary that reflects time put into the job. So I'd like to Mather's and Tim's comments about that.
Well, first, I'll make a couple comments. One, agreed. I mean, time spent is critical when you're talking about compensating someone in any position. So getting that information is probably difficult to get a wide smattering of data, but certainly, I mean, we'd like to get Rodney's just general hours per week and that sort of thing. And just a qualifier statement, which isn't well thought out, but just something that's kind of in the back of my head is this task that we're doing right now is pretty. The data set is not consistent. There's no apples to apples. There's not no apples to apples in anything, but this isn't like comparing real estate. In other words, like you can't get 10 comps in the area where these criteria of this house are pretty darn close to this criteria and this neighborhood. And so we're trying, and it's important to try to get as much data as possible, but in the end, it's probably going to be what we feel is the right thing to do based on the data that we can get. But man, there's a lot of this data that needs to be, that we're in our heads, I'm sure we're disqualifying because there's some salaries that are way high, some salaries that are way low. We don't know what they do necessarily. Tim did a good job of putting that together. I'm probably just saying the obvious, but It's just something that it's just been hard to disseminate the data and to really come up with. It's hard to be quantitative with this stuff. You know, it's more of a qualitative evaluation in the end, based on what we feel is the right thing to do. And so, yeah, Rodney. Well, we can ask Rodney questions. I don't know. What do you think the expectation is for ours?
Well, the job in whole, of course, is to be at these meetings. So yeah. I don't know. This time of year, there's two a week. So you're
at least
probably looking 3 or 4 hours there, plus the hours that you're monkeying around at home reading stuff like this and so forth and so on. So to ratchet up to 20 hours a week, I don't think it's hard to do.
So Rodney, maybe a better question is, how much time do you think a business owner or an employee on commission or somebody that's taking away from their job? That's what I feel in my heart. That's kind of what the idea here is just fairly compensating and probably still unfairly compensating, quite frankly. I mean, in today's economy, $31,000 or 40, it's not that much money, quite frankly, to like a family or somebody that's a business owner. So, I mean, we're doing a lot of research on a little bit of money, especially compared to the town budget, but we do want to be fair. We don't want to overpay someone. We don't want to underpay someone. So there's got to be a fair range there. But what do you think, I mean, a business owner, because you're getting calls at certain times of the night, you know, on certain items, I'm sure. Weekends are probably not off limits. So, I don't know, percentage of time per week maybe that's taken away from your job? 10, 15, 75? I don't know.
I couldn't tell you that. I don't know. It all blends together for me, because I'm a small business owner and I just handle three things at a time. So they all just keep going together. But the role is, besides these meetings, is you have to consider the fact that there's CROG and all these other different committees and organizations out there. And you know, you're kind of like the face of the town. You're elected, so you got to represent the town, and you should be trying to attend social events, whether you like it or not. You might as well just get used to liking them, and which I could do. So, you know, so there's a lot of things you're doing. You know, I don't write speeches now. All of a sudden, how long am I spending writing speeches nowadays for the veterans things and all kinds of stuff and playing Santa Claus or whatever. But it's all kinds of new things. And there's a lot involved. And it's
so
just
because you're learning small talk and speeches, you should be paying us for the experience now that you're going to convey into the world, right? I mean, think of all this knowledge. Yeah.
I'm at the age where I probably won't use it later.
This is a kind of a diversion, but it's a note that I had here that I wanted to bring up and more of a question. You know, one of the things that we've brought up is healthcare. And I'm not a small business owner. So I'm going to ask a couple things. One, we're talking about raising the pay and benefits in order to compensate someone that's taking time away from their regular job. Mm-hmm. And my question is, wouldn't this is to the whole board, not Rodney. To Rodney too, but everybody. Wouldn't they have healthcare already at their job? And then the second part is, let's just go on that. I mean, wouldn't if somebody that we want to hire as a first selectman or elect, they're probably going to be a semi-successful person at least. So they probably have their own business or a job that they're taking time away from. So wouldn't they have healthcare there? Anyone have an opinion on that as to why we should be offering healthcare?
I do not have, well, I pay for my own healthcare from private. Mm-hmm. And it's very expensive. If I had to, thinking back, yeah, most of the people have had health insurance, right? And what's the value of the town's health insurance for? Well,
I think for a family plan, it's around $25,000 a year.
Okay. So
will that remain static, or will that go up over time?
It goes up over time.
Well, and it depends on whether it's a single or a family plan too.
So, right.
You know, that's kind of a variable number. Who knows? They may come in and already have insurance through their spouse or through work. They, you know, that's kind of a.
Providing access to the health, to the town's health plan is easy, right? What you have to wrestle with is, you know, cost share, right?
Yeah.
So the insurance plan is already there. The first selectman is already an employee of the town. So granting them access to the town's healthcare system is as simple as saying, okay, you have access. I think the thing that you wrestle with is it a benefit that the town wants to pay for, or is it a town that the town wants to pay for a percentage of?
Jim, are you saying that somebody could have access to the town healthcare and pay for it themselves? In other words, they can be on the plan and it might be more beneficial financially?
That's correct.
Okay. And that wouldn't cost the town anything?
Just whatever we would have to spend for administrative time dealing with it, which isn't a lot.
So my only concern here is I seem to remember in, I don't remember what it was, but it was a town, either a first selectman meeting or a union meeting or something. And no, it was first selectman. And it had to do with legacy. What is it called when you have a pension? We had pensions that we're paying for. And we kind of said, like, we don't really want to get into that anymore. And
oh, so that was wasn't that the supervisor's union contract negotiation?
I think it was actually in the regular. That's what I was thinking too, Gwen. But I think it may have been. Maybe it was. Yeah.
So I don't know if this helps. So there are a few staff members, just a handful at this point, that, you know, will get paid out for 50% of their accrued sick time up to a certain number of hours upon retirement.
Right.
And that payout is at
50%. Oh, maybe that's what it was. Yeah.
So I think
I just get nervous about saddling a future board with an ever increasing cost. You know, it's one thing to increase the salary. Just kind of something that came up. I don't know, because we don't know what the future cost of that is 5, 10, 15 years from now. And it's going to be a heck of a lot harder for them to take to remove that if it gets crazy than simply increase the salary or decrease the salary. So I don't know that I know enough about it. Obviously, I've made that clear. I'm not a business owner and I don't know the costs of healthcare, but thank you for that information. But I'd be open, like, I just feel like a higher salary, more cash is easier to know what it's worth right now. And if we increase the salary even $10,000 more than we're thinking to $41,000, it's an easier number to get your head around, or increase it by $20,000 more. And just, and then, cause how many years has it been since we've looked at this? So, I mean, I don't know. Just a thought. Yeah. I'm not the end all be all. Just kind of a concept of we don't know what the expansion of that cost will be in the future.
I think there's been like 3% increases over the years or something. I mean, that's with the whole board.
They've been small. Yeah,
yeah. I think everybody gets the same increase.
With healthcare.
And I'll be on Medicare.
Well, healthcare is pretty volatile, although now that we've been with the state health plan, I think this is our third year with the state health plan. The volatility of the cost of the health plan has decreased tremendously. You know, we've seen increases. I think the greatest increase we've seen in the last 3 years in the cost of the health plan has been around 3%. When in years before, we were looking at scary numbers, like 13%, 18%, 20%.
Yep.
Mather, do you have any thoughts?
No, these are all good thoughts. I was going to comment on Tim's research here, which is very nicely laid out and easy to read and understand. I guess my only comment is on, and maybe I'm wrong, but it only looks at the technical title term of first selectman, which I think we should be really just opening that up to CEO of a town, regardless of what their, whether they're a mayor or a first selectman or, you know, whatever the actual title is. There's only 9, well now 10 towns with a quote unquote first selectman, but I think it's more important to look at towns that are maybe more similar to ours. And a lot of these towns seem to be pretty close in terms of, you know, population and, you know, geographics and so on, but it might be better to maybe open this up and get a better, you know, looking at only 9, it might be better to kind of open that up to 20 or, you know, 15 at least or something, just to kind of get a better average of all of this data. So I think kind of saddling it to or restricting it to the only the term first selectman is not maybe as accurate. That was one thing I noticed about it. But I think also I like the idea of maybe reaching out to former first selectmen to ask them to get an idea, because I think the important thing is going back to, like, you know, the actual salary or the dollar amount is kind of tied to the hours. Like to in my mind as a business owner, like that's what I'd be like, okay, how many hours are they spending? And that kind of gives me a calculus of, you know, what is that position worth, you know, to the organization that they're putting the time into. So I think that would be a good additional data to add to this. And I know, Rodney, it's hard for you to put a number on that, but maybe you could think about it a little more, maybe track a couple weeks and just see, you know, just think about it more. Could ask, you know, some former first selectmen too. Because I do think just in general, you know, the what we're paying now is woefully inadequate, I feel, just given what is required of the job. And I really think that it's important to help, you know, attract, you know, new candidates in the future. And, you know, yeah, with volunteerism going down, you know, look at the fire department. Like, we're talking about adding paid positions there because we can't get volunteers. Well, it's kind of the same thing here. that, you know, helps open the door to more candidates in the future. So I think overall, it's an important, it's something I think we should do. It's just, in my mind, it's more of a question of how to distill the data to get kind of a fair number.
Yeah, right. I agree with that. And you mentioned that this was, you know, in your business, you look at hours spent and what that's worth to the organization. And in my business, I'm looking at business development, getting projects. And I would feel pretty silly if I lost a $1 million job over $10,000 or $20,000, mm-hmm, right? Because you can bury a lot of sins in a big job. But from the town perspective, what's our budget? So we're going to lose good talent over what, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000? I mean, if you could get great leadership, you could turn $30,000 into $3 million of savings or a benefit to the town or whatever it is. So I don't think we should be short-sighted and nitpick on $10,000 or $20,000 when we're talking about a budget that's this big. But again, the healthcare thing, I'm a little bit less more apprehensive. But, you know, and also you mentioned in the beginning, 9 or 10 selectmen. I mean, in that Stanford Advocate chart, there was, I counted 38 first selectmen. So I'm not sure.
Different number. Yeah, I was looking through all that as well. That was part of my comment was, you know, I think we should just open it up to more towns.
So I think, you know, when and Tim should really probably talk to this himself, but yeah. I think when Tim looked at the data, you know, the instructions that we gave him were to look at the data where the government structure was similar, where you had either a town administrator, town manager, and a first selectman form of government. Was that accurate there?
Yeah, I can speak up a little bit. So you will see a lot of other towns that use first selectmen or mayors or whatever title they use, but the real limiting factor that I found was in conjunction with their first selectman or mayor, they also had a town administrator or manager. A lot of the towns that are around Bolton, around the state that are smaller, will only have their first selectman. They'll be the sole operator of the town. There'll be no town manager or town administrator. And I figured that was going to skew our data because they're supposed to be the CEO as well as the head of operations.
They're expected to do more.
Exactly. Which is
because they don't have.
It's a full-time job.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Good point. I know that Portland is a good example.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, smallish town, you might say, oh, that's comparable, but that that they have a first selectman and no town administrator. So I think
but
go ahead.
Just to add to that, so case in point, then you have a town administrator. If you added what we have together, then that's what that first, you know, so that helps kind of perhaps get a better idea of, you know, what that's worth.
Yes.
So I think we all agree that, well, I don't know if we all agree, but I guess the comment on the table. So first of all, thanks, Tim, for this. I think this is good data, and it is similar type governments, and it looks like similar sized governments. So that's population-wise, that's good. In disseminating the data, you know, your evaluation here is we're like average, basically. Is that right, Tim, or correct me if I'm wrong? Like, I think you said, slightly above.
Yeah, I mean, you're above by a minuscule amount. So, yeah, I think average is fair.
For these nine towns, right? So it's a small subset, but average. Do we want to be just average, guys? Or do we want to be above average and get the best talent? And if above average and fair means $20,000 in a, how much is our budget?
I think the interesting thing is, you know, you're at average, but you've got outliers in both directions that, correct, you know, so there's one or two that are way high and there's one or two that are zero.
Right.
Right. So that really, you know, I think you have to look at the data holistically rather than just look at whether or not you're average or not.
Yeah, I think maybe to your point, maybe we have some bumpers where we know where we don't want to go on either side. But the qualitative evaluation of this is probably more important. And again, the part that always makes the most sense here is we're compensating someone for their time that they're taking away from their lives and their jobs. So what is that worth to us?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what the cost of things are today, knowing what a normal small business does and is worth, and what's their salary compared to what they're giving up now, and how's that impacting their lives, and what's a fair compensation for it. So we have some good data here, but that's going to be how I'm going to evaluate it, and along with the data for support where we can. But like Jim said, it's like 160,000, 5,000. What do we, you know, it's all over.
Yeah, so I really like all these comments that we're hearing. I think it, Rodney, I think if you could keep keep track if you can, like take a little notepad with you.
Do more.
Like, no, do
do more for less coverage.
Also, count the hours that you're counting the hours.
Yes, right. If it takes you 15 hours to keep a chart, don't. But, you know, I think it's like a food chart. If you, you know, start writing down what you eat and it turns out to, oh, really? That's, you know, that's what I would buy. Like unless you really keep track of something, I think you don't know exactly what the reality is. So if you could keep track, I wouldn't be surprised if your hours are actually more than you think they are.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
And it could be a range. I find ranges to be helpful in life and business. Definitive numbers get you locked in on that, but really it's not the same. Nothing's the same ever.
Yeah, and you almost need a whole year to collect them because evolve.
Yeah. But at least a couple of weeks would give us an idea. And now that we're in budget season, we've got more meetings. Right. So you may as well do it at this high point instead of doing it at a low point when we're in.
And it's not just meetings for him.
No.
Yeah, I know you go to funerals, you go to steak dinners.
But other meetings with Jim. And
yeah,
and I don't know if this is helpful or not. But, you know, I worked with Sandy and I worked with Pam. And although Rodney is maybe in this office more than Sandy and Pam were, I think they were all largely equally engaged.
I'm sure that is. And I was wondering if it's, do you feel okay about me contacting Pam and Sandy and asking if they could give us ballpark figures on what they think. I don't know if looking back, it might be hard for them to remember what that hourly figure would be, but is that okay with you to get their solicit their information?
Yeah.
Okay. So we can
then to that.
And
all good.
And I'll, my final comment too, or not, this won't be final, but just one thing I'm thinking of is like along the lines of what Tim's saying is that it's more, you know, qualitative than quantitative, you know, like to try to pull away from like the data and just the dollars per hour and, you know, this kind of thing. It's good background information, but I think it also, like, I think it just goes back to how much is this person giving up of the rest of their life for this job to take it seriously and do what it requires is, you know, something that's, you know, a little more esoteric of a concept to think about, but just whatever you think in your gut of, you know, that's what I kind of keep going back to aside from this.
And I think it also has to be low enough so someone doesn't just take the job and then just cruise through it because it can be their primary income, frankly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because somebody, we might get somebody crappy because they say this, they see this as a meal ticket.
I'm just going to do it for the money.
80 grand a year and they don't have to do anything because there's a town admin doing all the work for them, you know, and they can just skate through and do less work than these volunteers are doing. And right now it's a volunteer job. So it still needs to be volunteer, but compensating for valuable hours.
So there is a lot of responsibilities, of course, with the jobs. You know, you see the contracts I have to put my name to, and the pistol permits I have to put my name to.
Yep.
So I mean, there's you're kind of like putting your head on the line right off the get go, which I would think you'd have some value to it. And you're definitely under fire. You're in the public eye.
Yep.
Say the wrong thing, you can end up in the front page of the paper in no time flat. So you got to adjust your
stress level to it.
So I mean, it's
not all just fun and games.
No, and you know, you get in your truck, you leave here, and you're still thinking work stuff while you're on your way to work. Does that constitute hours of work? Or, you know, go to bed at night, and you're saying, "Huh, what are we going to do here?" You know.
Right.
This fire ban just got put in place, and you know, how do you explain that? Or things happen.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. There are intangibles that should be compensated as well as just numbers. But numbers is a good place to start. Hours is a good place to start. And
it's very possible that there's candidates and people out there who can just put it out of their mind once they leave here, and, you know, move on to their lives, and there's others who it just kind of hangs around, and you're always mulling over things, and you're trying to stop in and see all the employees to make sure that everybody's happy and that they're still comfortable talking to you if they want to, and you know, so
all right. That's a
there's point. There's a lot to that. It's an elected position, first of all, so It's not like you're gonna pick who you want. You can vote for the one of the two, but that's pretty much where that goes.
Those are all good points. So, do you think, committee members, that we should maybe set another meeting for say 2 weeks down the road? It would give Tim time to look into what Ellington's situation is. You also, there's some towns, I grew up in the town of Roxbury out in Litchfield County, which I know is a different economic profile. They have a first selectman. I don't think they have a town administrator though, but you might want to just see if you could get that salary. Maybe check some of those other smaller towns, Bridgewater, Washington.
Are there governments that have, maybe it's not called a first selectman, but it's like a mayor and a town admin, or CEO and a town admin. I don't know the answer.
Usually, if it's a mayor form of government, that is the chief executive officer, and that would be the highest paid person handling all the day to day stuff. And then there would be a town council that is a more like an advisory policy board. So that, you know, that mayor usually applies to the bigger bigger towns as well.
Okay.
So you could check some of those like, yeah, Woodbury, Bethlehem might be a little bit too small, Goshen, Litchfield. So, but again, I think the salary range might be a little bit higher out there, but that might give you, there might be some first selectman, town administrator, form of government towns out there. Also East Granby was another one that I didn't see on your list. I don't know what form of government they have. And then in the meantime, if you could do a little tracking log of your hours. I know you can't log the time you're lying in bed awake thinking about the fire ban.
Nope, but you can't.
But you could, but the physical hours that you're spending in meetings on the phone,
right?
You know, going to supportive events in the community, that would be very helpful. And then I'll contact Sandy and Pam and ask them if they would be willing to give an opinion on what they feel the number of hours they per week that they put in. Does that all sound good for next steps?
So the last thing was the pension. I don't know if that was brought up or not. Talked about the insurance thing.
Right.
And the insurance thing, of course, is I think the town, most employees pay 17%.
Yeah, something. It depends on the union that they're in.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I liked Tim's point. So if we get into that, we don't know what the limit is on that. Also based, I mean, that was Tim Sadler, based on Tim White's research, only one of the nine towns that he looked at offer health care.
Columbia will offer it.
They will. Okay.
Either in the next fiscal year. I don't know exactly when it starts, but in their email to me, they said they will.
So I don't care which way this goes, but you take a town that has 10,000 people and they're looking for a selectman. They have 10,000 people to pick from. We only have 5,000 to pick from. So there's got to be some incentive to, because there's only half the number.
Make up for that.
Pick from. You know, it's small. It's not going to be easy in the future. So it's just that when you're looking at the bigger towns, it is a fair comparison proportionally, based on the average income, or do you use a household income, or do you use the average income? You know, there's different incomes you can use. So just a thought.
Yeah, I'll just do my controversial opinion. It just seems like still a volunteer job, and we're all here because we want to help the town at this moment in time in our lives, and we're pitching in, you know, we're helping out the community. I don't know that needs to go beyond our terms, frankly. We're not corrections officers, you know, they should get a pension. they sacrifice.
Well, safety. In reality is we don't have a pension plan. It's a 401k type plan. So,
yeah,
and I don't know how much
the town matched that, Jim.
Typically, the town is putting in about 6% of somebody's salary after a probationary period is over.
Yeah,
and it's not a match.
What do you mean? We just contributed.
Correct. Because the town decided, you know, years and years ago, the town decided not to go with a pension plan. This is how the town decided.
Fund the 401k.
You don't not necessarily fully fund it, right? Employees can still put in contributions, but the town, after the probationary period is over, will put in a percentage, and I think that average right now is around 6% of an employee's salary.
Do you have a thought on pension?
I hadn't really thought it to the point Tim just made, but at the same time, when you're talking about, you know, it's like a drop in the bucket, you know, compared to the whole, you know, the whole budget, you know, it's really not that much money.
What isn't, Mather? Salary, pension, or healthcare?
Yeah. The pension is what I'm specifically speaking of. I don't know. I have to think about that.
Yeah, I'd have to think it through too. It doesn't sit quite right with me. Just the idea of a town of somebody stepping in to serve the town and who is not a town. I mean, I guess we're all employees, even though we're making $1,200 a year. I guess we're employees, but I don't see this position as being one where there should be a health care plan or a pension plan attached to it. And I have to think about why I feel that way. Cause I'm not ready to articulate why, but that's just my initial thought on that.
I could kind of see it both ways, like, you know, in my mind, but I have to think about it more.
Just seems like kind of this stuff that's in the background, like the salary is up there up front, but then there's this stuff behind it that isn't necessarily at the surface, and it's attractive to somebody. I don't know. It just seems like it's just extra. It's, you know, it's a pack. It's an employment package. And
to your earlier point, Tim, I'd rather see just go with more salary, just raw, and not the other stuff, because
it's easier to quantify. Because otherwise, right, it's building up. Like, you know, as a business owner, I've heard you and Jeremy complain all the time about, you know, oh, now I got this and this, and I got paid time off, and, you know, not to put words in your mouth, but just generally, business owners, you know, they have a lot of extra stuff that comes with hiring an employee. It's not just their salary; it's all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For training and this and that, but not applicable here.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll give more thought to that. You give more thought to that too on the healthcare and the pension idea. And let's talk about that more.
So are we done with number three?
Which
is this discussion, except for finding a meeting?
Yeah, I think we should just try to schedule another meeting on this.
We have our book out here.
How far you want to look ahead?
Two weeks?
Not long.
I would like to get 2 weeks of Rodney's log time.
Keep it fresh here. Let's keep these ideas fresh. Let's not let it linger.
Yes, but we have to give Rodney enough time to really give us some solid numbers.
That'll give us that January 27th.
Monday at 8:30, a good date and time again?
Usually, yes.
Yep.
The
27th?
Yep.
And Tim White, that'll give you enough time, right?
Okay. I am here.
Oh, good. You're going to be back from the country?
I'm got a busy next month or so. A bunch of trips.
Oh, okay. So
but we just hit I'm one. Here.
Oh, that's good.
27th, 8:30?
Yep.
Okay.
That'll be Zoom and in person? Okay, great.
Same time, 8:30 here?
Yep.
So not to throw a monkey wrench into it, but is that one we should do the Jim's review package to?
We could do that. Just make it a longer meeting. Now, what subcommittee handles that? It's finance and administration. Okay. Well, I guess that would make sense.
It can't be here though, because you need to go into executive session.
Right.
And this is not private.
There's that room. Is that room in the back private enough? That way around the corner.
Tim's office.
I'm not sure you'd be comfortable.
Go to Georgina's.
I think we maybe should use natural.
Yeah.
Is the room not available that day?
Yeah. Well, let's do that.
I say that it's available.
We haven't had a construction meeting with Stanford Wrecking yet, but we'll find a space.
We'll find a space. I mean, we can always go to Herrick Park or something if we need to. So
could you do Zoom from over there?
We could figure it out.
Okay.
We don't do it very often over there, but we could figure something out.
It's the first for everything.
Either that or the library. Or not.
Okay, so we'll locational be to be determined.
We'll let you know.
Okay.
Good. All right. Anybody else have any other comments? So motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second.
All in favor. Tim, you ready to adjourn?
All right. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Tim. And thank you. Jim Aldridge, thank you for your information too.
Thanks, Jim.
Welcome.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Have a good day, everybody.
Ten.
Yeah, we have one 10, right?
Yeah.
Back here.
Okay. What meeting is that?